Okay, today's daf is Chulin Daf Vav. We're going to start at the fourth line. Okay, Umay time Agazru Bahu Rabbanan. But we saw yesterday, if you remember, we ended with this Gzeirah of Rabban Gamliel, Rav Hanan, brought the name of Rabbi Yaakov, Rabbi Idi, the name of Rabbi Shimon Levi, and the name of Rav Kapara. That is passed down through many, many people. That Rabban Gamliel and his Beitin decided to forbid the Shechitas of the Kuti. Remember, the Kuti, again, according to Abaye and Rav, as Perush and the Mishnah, it was allowed. And then later, Rabban Gamliel came and said it was a problem. Today, we're going to see that Rabbi Meir also had an issue with the Kutim. Okay, not about Shechita, but a different issue. If you remember yesterday, I said that they assume that Rabban Gamliel is the son of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, which means he came after Rabbi Meir. We're going to learn about Rabbi Meir, who was first, and then came Rabban Gamliel. Some people think it was the reverse. The Rabban Gamliel's Takana came first, and afterwards, it was the Rabban Gamliel as a cane, the earlier, because you know there was the Rabban Gamliel, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Rabban Gamliel, right? They kept naming them after each other, and Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, those were all the Nasim. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabban Gamliel. They're all named, right? There's a bunch of generations with people with the same names, so it's always confusing. And Hillel has a cane also. There was Hillel, there was a later Hillel. It's very confusing when you talk about them and you don't say which one, you don't really know who you're talking about. So they try to figure it out. So here there's two different opinions about whether Rabban Gamliel came first or later. So in order to figure out what Rabban Gamliel said, we're going to bring what Rabbi Meir said and then basically say that he was acting on the same principle as Rabbi Meir. So here goes. My time Gazru Behu Rabbanan. So why did the rabbis make this gzeirah on the Kutim? Ki had Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. There was this case where Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar shadre Rabbi Meir la tuye chamer mi bei kutai. Rabbi Meir sends him to bring wine from the kutim. Eshkache hahu saba, and he bumps into an old man on the street. Okay, so Tosfos quotes here. Yesh mefreshim de kol makom shu maskira hahu saba hu Eliyahu. Okay, anytime you see hahu saba in the Gemara, some people say that's Eliyahu and Avi. Bumps into him. He says, V'if Shalomar came, B'parik Bamei Madlik. And he says, there's one case with the case of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the famous story of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, there's a Husaba in the story. He says, that guy clearly can't be Eliyahu. So he says, I don't agree with them that every time it's Eliyahu, but he doesn't necessarily say that it can't necessarily be here. He's just saying it's not, you know, across the board. But anyway, whether it's Eliyahu or it's somebody, an old guy, he tells him, Amarle, okay, quotes the Pasuk in Mishle. V'samta sakim b'lo echa, put a knife in your cheeks. Im bal nefeshata, if you're you have a strong yetzer, basically, refrain yourself from doing it. Stick a knife in your mouth to kind of prevent yourself from doing it. Strange image, this knife in your mouth. But okay, we're going to say stop what you're doing. Don't do it. Hold yourself back. Okay, I know you want to buy the wine from them, but don't do it. Halach Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar v'siper dvarim lifnei Rabbi Meir. So he goes back to Rabbi Meir, who sent him, and he tells him what the Hahu Saba said. V'gazar alehen. And from that moment, Rabbi Meir makes a gzera on them that what? Obviously, in this case, we're not talking about shchita, we're talking about wine, that you can't buy their wines. Remember, what's the issue of wine? Well, if they're non-Jews, we can't have their wine because maybe they offered it up to their elilim. So obviously, there's something going on here relating to that. So now they say, my time. So what was the reason? The assumption is that Hahu Saba didn't just tell him that pasuk. He must have told them something else. Or maybe what motivated Hahu Saba to tell him that? Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Dmut Yonah Metzao Lehem Berosh Har Grizim, Shayu Ovdinota. If you remember the Shomronim, their whole place of worship is on Har Grizim, right, by Har Grizim and Har Eval. And they found a Dmud of a Yonah, right? I think there are worship places on Har Eval specifically, right? Not Har Grizim. It's on Har Grizim. Okay. So they found this Rosh, a Dmud of a Yonah at the top of the mountain. It was clear that people were worshiping the Yonah. Okay, now it's not clear all of them were worshiping the Yonah, but there were some of them. So Rabbi Meir is l'shitato. What does he do? We've seen this in a lot of other cases. L'mi'ut v'Rabbi Meir l'ta'ame. He goes l'shitato. D'chayish l'mi'uta. Okay? He's always worried about the mi'ut. You can't just say, oh, it's a minority. We can ignore that. Then, not only is he worried about the mi'ut, v'gazer ruba atu mi'uta. Because of the mi'ut, he goes around the rove. He says, you can't buy from any kutim because there are a minority group among them that are worshiping Avodah Zarah. And because of that, you can't buy their wines. So now, what does that do with Rabban Gamliel? Rabban Gamliel, who beit dino, nami ka Rabbi Meir, svira lehu. Okay, and they hold like Rabbi Meir, Rabban Gamliel, Okay, now again, if he, Rabban Gamliel comes after Rabbi Meir, then you say first there was a gzera on their wines, and then came Rabban Gamliel, and he said, well, also when it comes to shechita, not right, again, what do we have a whole thing about? If you're mumar le, right, that you're mumar lo ve kochavim, remember Rav Anan said in the name of Shmuel, we can't accept your shechita, but everyone else disagreed with him. So Rabban Gamliel said, look, if mi'ut of them are mumar lo ve kochavim, then we can't accept from any of them. Okay, and he basically blocks out everybody. And then, so the question is like this. Did we start with Yenesech and then move from there to Shechita, which would be, it's the later Rabban Gamliel? Some people say, no, Dafka makes more sense, because you would think, right, Avodah Zarah first is more severe, and then Shechita. But now some people say the reverse. Rabban Gamliel came first because Shechita is a mitzvah d'oraita. Stam Yenam is only Gzera d'Rabbanan, because it's, remember, wine of non-Jews is forbidden even if you don't know that they've worshipped it up to their Elilim. Obviously, if you know you worship, you can't have it. But this is all, maybe, first of all, maybe they're of the Elilim, and maybe they offer it up to their Avodah Zarah. So Shechita, we're more concerned, because that's Halacha Midoraita. You can't eat meat that wasn't shechted properly. Whereas the Stam Yenam is only Gzera D'Rabbanan. Maybe that one came later. So there's a bit of a debate about how to understand the severity, depending on what the order of, historically, who we're talking about, you know, whether Rabban Gamliel was the earlier one or the later one. Now that we quoted this pasuk, "Basantasikim loecha im bal nefeshata," they ask, "Pashtei dekrai b'maiktiv." What's the pshat of this pasuk? Now you're going to laugh a little because they're going to. It's like as if this isn't the pshat, right? It must have another pshat. But pshat doesn't mean pshat the way we understand it. Pshat is usually the simple reading of it, right? This is really a drasha on the pasuk. It's not exactly a pshat, but they say what? How is the context of this pasuk generally understood to be describing? So what do they answer? It's actually talking about a student sitting before his rabbi. Ditani Rabbi Chiya. As Rabbi Chiya explains in a braita. Here's the pasuk that comes right before it. It's in Mishlei Kaf Gimel, the beginning of the perek. Ki teshev lochomet Moshel. If you're sitting before a ruler, so they explain, what does that mean? It's a talmid in front of his rabbi. Bin tavin et asher lefanecha, v'samta sakim lo echa, Imbal nefeshata. So they're going to explain there's three things going on here. If you're sitting there, so bin tavin et asher lefanecha, meaning understand who you're sitting before, then put a knife in your, right, what does it sound like? Keep your mouth shut, right? If you put a knife in your mouth, it means you can't speak. Imbal nefeshata, if you really, so now they're going to see, we're going to describe that as something else, we'll see. Okay, how does it go? Im yodea tamib biraboshi yodea lachzir lo ta'am, bin. Okay? Bin means, actually, I put the psik in the wrong place. It's really, bin is the whole first thing. Know who you're sitting in front of. If he's a really sharp rabbi and he'll know to answer your questions, then bin, then push him on it, ask him all your questions, and you'll understand properly. But, this, v'im lav, tavin et asher lefanecha. But if not, if you understand who you're sitting before. If you have a rabbi who doesn't really know so well to answer questions, v'samta sakim b'lo'echa, keep your mouth shut because you'll embarrass him. Okay, if you start asking him questions, he doesn't know how to answer, it'll be a huge embarrassment for him. Imbal nefeshata, now they understand this to be a new thing, which is interesting because the pasuk ends imbal nefeshata, as if it's referring back to the previous thing, but this is a third thing. If you really, really want to know the answer, and you don't want to ask your rabbi because you don't want to embarrass him, well then, proshe menu, go find yourself a new rabbi. Okay? But this, it's a very good etzah, right? Instead of embarrassing your rabbi, just politely leave the class and go find somebody else to learn from, right? And it's don't embarrass him. So that's the way they explain, quote-unquote, pshat of the pasuk, right? Because as you can see, it's not really the pshat. Rabbi Yitzchak ben Yosef, Shadre Rabbi Avau Latuyecham Rabbi Beikutai. We're going to have another story. So Rabbi Yitzchak ben Yosef gets sent by Rabbi Avau to bring wine from the Kuti. Eshkechayahu Saba. So again, he bumps into this old man. Amarle, late kan Shomrei Torah. He says, these people are not Shomrei Torah. Halach Rabbi Yitzchak v'siper dvarim lefnei Rabbi. So Rabbi Yitzchak, lefnei Rabbi Avau. So he goes back to report. V'halach Rabbi Avau v'siper dvarim lefnei Rabbi Ami v'Rabbi Asi. He went to his rabbi, right? In other words, he went back to his rabbi. That rabbi went to his rabbis. V'lozazu misham ad sha'asa'um obdei kochavim gemurim. Okay, lozazu misham is used in many contexts. When they make a takana, in other words, they took a vote and they made sure that everyone agreed. You know, in other words, they waited till they could convince everybody. and they basically turn the kutim into avdei kochavim gemurim. Okay, this sounds like a new shlav, right? Until now we had shchita and yayin, right? We don't know exactly which order, or yayin and shchita. And now all of a sudden we have this phrase that they turn them, Rav Asi, Rav Ami, Rav Asi, already Amoraim, right? The first two were done in the Sekhfarat Tanaim. They come and say, right, you can see this interesting development about the way they treated the Kutim and the way they viewed them. And it could be that the community of Kutim changed over time. In other words, maybe they were less Shomrei Mitzvot over time, which makes a lot of sense, right? That things would evolve. And then the rabbis had to react to that evolvement and how we can, that evolution, and to say, how do we respond to this? So they turn them into Avdei Kochavim Gemurim. So now they say, Lamai, for what? Ilashchita v'yein nesech mehatam gazur b'rabanan. Right? Mehatam gazur b'rabanan? Inu gazur. Sorry, that's the question. If it's shchita v'yein nesech, right? Already from before, they were already gozer on them. Inu gazur v'lo kiblu minayhu. What did they say? Now, what happened was, and this is also interesting in terms of development, so Rabban Gamliel and Rabbi Meir made these takanot, but the people didn't hold to them. And so Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asi said, right, which makes sense now, because you could see what happened. Rabbi Abao sent a student to get wine. Why was he sending a student to get wine if already they had, Rabbi Meir had already made Gzeira? So it seems the people weren't keeping to it, and therefore, lo zazu misham, until they established this as a, this is it. Okay, now, you can see why we're going to see now that they went even farther than the others. And why did they go farther? Because why does it say Avdei Kochavim Gemurim? Because they realized that when you, this is just my reading, when you tell people, well, they're Avdei Kochavim for this, but they're not Avdei Kochavim for that, so you could see that people wouldn't take it so seriously. So at this point, they said, we're going to make them Avdei Kochavim Legamrei, and then people will be able to start treating them as if they're Avdei Kochavim, and then it'll be easier to draw the lines. Okay, so what happens? So now they want to know, my Avdei Kochavim Gemurim. What does this mean that they're Avdei Kochavim Gemurim? What else is added to it? So Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, they're going to basically say, we're going to go all, I think what they're doing is they're giving the extreme. This reminds me a little bit when they say of Avraham Avinu that he kept all the Taryag Mitzvot, and they say he even kept Eruv Tchumin and Eruv Chatzerot. So here we're going to have a halacha about Eruv Chatzerot, and it's giving us the gamut. But not only that, we're even treating them like Avdei Kochavim for Inyan Eruv Chatzerot. Okay? To what Inyan? The Vatel Rishut, Velitain Rishut. Okay, those who learned Eruv, you might remember this. It's a very interesting sugya. If people live, many people lived in those days with a common courtyard, right? A courtyard, or at least all their courtyards face the same area, and they want to, I have my house with my front yard, let's say, and your house, your front yard, and they all open to a shared space, and we want to, or it's not really a shared space. Each one has their chatzer, but it's this big open space in between all our houses. And we want to be able to carry there on Shabbat. So what do? We do what's called an Eruv Chatzerot. We put some food in there. We all pay for the food together. And it becomes ours. And we leave it there. And then it becomes, or we leave it in one of the properties, and it becomes joint property. What if one of the people wasn't there before Shabbat to participate? So on Shabbat, he can say, I'm canceling my rights to the chatzer, and I'm allowing everybody to have a share portion. You know, you can all walk in my chatzer, which then means I'm basically canceling my portion to the rest of you. If it's a non-Jew, you can't do that even before Shabbat. He can't just say, oh, well, I'll let you use my share property. Okay, I'll let you, it'll count. But if you live in a chatzer with a non-Jew, what do you have to do? You have to actually rent out his portion of the chatzer. You have to pay him money for it, make a real transaction, and obviously then it has to be done before Shabbat. You can't do that on Shabbat. So if you were to have, you know, he wasn't around before Shabbat, you're stuck. You can't carry there at all, and then it doesn't allow anybody to carry in this whole area. So we treat non-Jews differently. What's the main reason for treating non-Jews differently? It's really because they didn't want people to live with non-Jews, okay? Because they wanted, number one, there were fears. Okay, this whole sugya has this whole issue with the fear that if there's one Jew in a, there's a whole sugya about that if there's one Jew in a chatzer with non-Jews, and they're worried the non-Jew is going to kill him. Like, there's fear of that. But also, they didn't want the influence of the non-Jews. You know, you live with people, you can be influenced by them, so they wanted to discourage people from living with non-Jews. So now they're going to say, to what extent did they treat these kutim as non-Jews? To the extent of the halachot of Eruv Chatzerot, even for that, they treated him like a non-Jew. Okay, which is not really a halacha proper. It's a, and it's not like, certainly not a halacha midoraita or anything. It's just that they wanted to prevent them from living among them, and therefore treated them, you know, in other words, the non-Jews had this specific law relating to them to make it difficult for the Jews to make it a Eruv Chatzerot, which would then say, oh, I don't want to buy here, because right, it would lower the real estate. Say, right, I don't want to buy here because why would I want to be in a Chatzer with non-Jews? It would be a headache for me every week. I'd have to rent a part of his Chatzer to make an Eruv Chatzerot. So I'm Rav Nachman Yitzchak, it's levatel reshut v'litein reshut, right? To cancel my reshut and to give reshut to the others to have reshut in my property. Meaning you can't do that with a kuti. Uki detanya, as it says in a braita, Yisrael mumar meshamer shabato bashuk, mevatel reshut v'notein reshut. If you're a Yisrael who doesn't keep halachot, but you keep Shabbat before Hesia, okay? You're meshamer Shabbat bashuk in public. Just in your own house, you don't keep Shabbat. Then mevatel reshut v'notein reshut. For purposes of Eruv, you're good. You can do an Eruv with him. You can have him just cancel his reshut even on Shabbat. B'she'eino meshamer Shabbato b'shuk. But if he's mechalal Shabbat b'fer hesya, eino mevatel reshut v'notein reshut. Mipnei shamru, Yisrael notein reshut u'mevatel reshut. U'bovei kochavim ad shiyiskor. Okay, you'd have to rent it from an Ovei Kochavim, and we're going to treat the Yisrael Mumar, who's Mechalel Shabbat B'Fer Hesya, like a non-Jew for these purposes, and that's what he's saying they did with the Kutim also. Ketzad, how do you do this? Now they want to just explain, how do you do this Mevatel Reshut V'Notein Reshut? Amar lo Reshuti Knuya Lecha, Reshuti Mevutel Lecha, Kana Ve'ein Sarich Lizakot. Okay, you could just say in words, all you have to do is say in words, my reshut is knuya lecha, or my reshut is mevutelet lecha, right? It's canceled into yours, and you can acquire it in that way. You don't have to do any sort of real kinyan. Okay, that was all this aside to tell us about what Rav Asi and Rav Ami, when they were goes around the kuti, how far did they go with it in terms of treating them like Ovdei Kochavim? And now, again, the assumption here is that they were gerei emet. They originally were fine, but at this point, they're like a Yisrael Mumar. They basically turned away. Okay, remember, we saw a different option that treated them from the beginning as if they were Gerei Arayot, and they converted out of fear, and they were never treated as Jews. This treated them as Jews for a certain time period, but a certain time period, it changed. Okay, now we're going back. If you remember yesterday, we had this issue, I think it was yesterday, yeah, about that God wouldn't allow a Talmid Chacham to accidentally eat something that was asur. Okay, so we're now going to have another story about this. We're still not going to get to the donkey story till tomorrow. Okay, Rabbi Zeira v'Rav Asi iklu lepundika diyai. They got to a pundak in Yai, it's the name of a city. Aitu lekamayo, they brought before them beitzim hamitzu makot b'yayin. They brought them these eggs that were roasted, okay, like very dried out, roasted in fried till they were very burnt or something, or I don't know, something like that. Litztamek, usually we use it in Shabbat, mitztamek v'ralo. If you leave something on, as it goes on, it gets drier and drier.
Like tzimukim.
Right, like tzimukim, exactly. So they brought before them these eggs. Now the assumption is, right, they weren't halachic people that brought it. The issue is, now we're not talking about, okay, they were fried in wine. The issue here is not Yei Nesech. We're talking about Amei Aretz. We're now moving into, we're going to see all these halachot of Demai. What's Demai? Right? Demai is Da'mai. You don't know what it is, right? Go see what it is. It's when an Amei Aretz gives you produce, and you don't know if he took Trumot or Masrot. So generally, we're suspect, and you have to take Trumot or Masrot. So we brought him this food. So now the issue is with the wine. The Trumot or Masrot weren't necessarily taken. Rabbi Zeira lo acha. So Rabbi Zeira said, I'm not eating that, right? There's wine in there, and they didn't take Trumot or Masrot. Rav Asi achal, Rav Asi ate it. Amar le Rav Zeira le Rav Asi, v'lo chayesh mar le tarovet demai. You're not worried that there's tarovet of demai mixed in there? Amar le lavadatai. I didn't realize. Okay, here you see, right? Even a big rabbi, he didn't realize. What didn't he realize? He didn't realize there was wine in there. In other words, he saw eggs, basically, right? Just like if you have mushrooms, we often cook mushrooms with wine, right? People do that. You wouldn't necessarily know there was wine in there, right? You didn't pay attention. It's just mixed in. So he said, I didn't realize. So Amar Rabbi Zeira, right here, he must have felt terrible, right here. He might have accidentally eaten this demai. So Rabbi Zeira says, Efshar gazru ala tarovet demai, umistaya milta to Rav Asi lemechal isura. Do you think that they were gozer on tarovet demai? In other words, demai is an issue for the produce, but here we have a mixture that has some wine in it. Maybe they weren't really gozer on tarovet demai, because if they were gozer on tarovet demai, that you have to take trumot ma'asrot, then what? In other words, mistaya milta derasa lemechal isura. You think that God would have let it happen, that Rav Asi accidentally would have eaten something that was forbidden? Hashtabem, Tanshal Tzadikim, we're going to have that same line again. Just like the Beimot of Tzadikim, Ena Kadosh Baruch Hu Mevi Takalal Yadan, God makes sure that they don't accidentally eat non-kosher or things they're not allowed to eat. We'll see what tomorrow. Tzadikim Atzman Lo Kol Shekein, so all the more so he's going to allow a big rabbi to accidentally eat something that was forbidden to be eaten. He starts thinking to himself, maybe there's really no issue with Tarovet Demai. He said, I'm not going to eat it, but maybe he was wrong. Maybe he really could have eaten it. Nafak Rabbi Zera Dat Ve'eshkach. So he researches it, and he actually, in fact, finds out that it's true. There's really no problem with the Tarovet of Demai. Where do we see this? Ditanya, it says, Tanama Chubitanya. There's a brayta that says, Halokech Yayin, if you buy wine from an Ama Aretz, Latet L'toch HaMorai, is to make a Tarovet out of it, okay, to mix it with your fish juice, to make this dish, Morayas, oh, L'tocha Alontit, or this other dish that was made with balsam oil, Shemina Far Simon, or Karshinin La Somehen Tchinin, okay, I think Karshinin is vetch, is that what it is? The vetch, what? Vetch. To make with it some, what is it, what they call Tchinin? Some cooked dish with vetch, okay, or Adashim La Somehen Rissisin, or you buy lentils to make this, again, another cooked dish with the lentils. Chayav mishum demai. Okay, if you purchase the produce yourself from an Ama Aretz in order to make some sort of a mixture, then you have to take trumot masro. You have to worry that maybe they didn't take them. Ve'ein sarich lomar mishum vaday. And of course, if you know they didn't take trumot masro, then of course you have to. Ve'ein atzman mutarin mipnei shein tarovet ve'lo gazru al tarovet demai. But in this brayta, what does it say? If you buy actually the morayis already made, or whatever combination of items you bought, right? You buy some sort of cooked lentil dish or cook something from an Ama Aretz, then you don't have to worry about Tamai. Okay? So here you see that he was in fact right, and that he didn't know that Breita offhand, but when he went and researched, he found that Breita, and he realized that Rav Asi, right, even though Rav Asi didn't realize either, because otherwise he would have answered him that, right? Rav Asi just said, I didn't realize there was wine in there. But you could say also that Rav Asi maybe, you know, deep down he realized that he doesn't have to worry, right? If you knew you had to worry that maybe there's something in it, he would maybe have asked all the ingredients. You buy from an Ama Aretz something, got to make sure. But in the end, he didn't, right? He didn't do it. Maybe he knew because no one else before him had done it because it was really mutar. Okay, so now we see you don't have to worry about a tarovet. So now they say, but wait, v'ha tanya, aren't we concerned in a brayta for tarovet? Where? Hanotem l'shchenta isa le'efot. If you go to your neighbor, who's an Ama Aretz, and you give them your dough to bake, let's say your oven's not working or you don't have your own oven, you bring them the dough to bake or a pot to cook. You don't have to worry that maybe they put their own seor, their own tavlin, lo mishum shvi'i v'lo mishum masir. You don't have to worry that maybe they switched it. Right? That's what happened. They took your pot and they gave you their pot full of stuff, you know, or whatever was in their pot. Or they took your dough and baked it and they gave you their dough. Now, there, what do you have to worry about? So the seor, you have to worry about mishum shvi'id or maaser. And the tavlinim generally, there's a bit of an issue here. Tavlinim, spices, you don't have to take trumot maaserot. If you grow spices outside, bring them in your house, you don't have to take trumot maaserot. So some people say the tavlin is only for shvi'i purposes, you have to worry about it, and not for maaser, and that the maaser is referring to the seor. Or some people say, no, there are tavlinim. For example, garlic is considered a spice, but it actually is something that you can eat. It's more like a food-like substance. That you have to take trumot maaserot, so maybe they're talking about those type of tavlinim, you don't have to worry about maaser. Anyway, you don't have to worry that they switch, right? You don't have to worry that maybe they switched it, and here you have a ta'arovet. Right, because it's the seor is inside this, and the tavlin is in there, and you don't have to worry about b'mamarla. But if he says to her, asili mishalaychi, choshes the seor b'tavlin sheva. But if you say, go make me a dish from your ingredients, then you have to worry about the seor of the tavlin. Now, mishum shvi'id and mishum masra, you have to worry that maybe it's shvi'id, or you have to worry about masra. Right? Now, there's obviously, if it's not a shmita year, you don't have to worry about shvi'id. Right? If it's, then you'd have to worry to take trumot masra. If you have to worry about shvi'id, that's a separate issue. So what are the answer? So what do you see here? What's the issue? You have a ta'arovet, the seor is mixed in, the tavlin is mixed in, it's clearly a ta'arovet, and yet we do have to worry about maaser. And we just said a minute ago, you don't have to worry when it's a combination. So what are the answer? Shane hatam, dekevan da ka'amar la asili mishalaychi, keman da'arav biyadayim dami. There's one thing to go and buy from someone or, you know, go into someone's house and eat their stuff that they already made. That's okay. But when you say go make from your ingredients, it's as if you did it yourself. It's as if you bought the ingredients from them and then did it, which means in that case you'd have to take Trumata Masra. So you can't compare these two cases. In a case where you buy the finished product, that's fine. In the case where you say, go make it with your ingredients, then you have to worry about all the ingredients because it's as if you're saying, I'm buying the ingredients and doing it and doing it on your own. That's one answer. A second answer is that there's a totally different issue with Seor and a Tavlin and the yayin in the morayas or whatever we saw in the eggs. Rafarma marashani Seor v'tavlin dilita'ama avid. V'tama lo batel. What do we say? We've learned this before. Tam ki ikar. The flavor is if it's the central part, which means that if you put something in for flavor, that's different. Now, there's the seor and the spice is considered the main part. So when we said the yayin, what did we talk about the yayin? The yayin is batel. You don't even see it. You don't taste it really. It's batel. I mean, you do maybe a little taste of the wine, but not really. It gives some flavor, but it's not as strong as the spice. They viewed spices as very strong, right? You might say spices are batel. They said, no, the spice gives it the flavor. That's the ikar. I try a soup without spices. It tastes terrible. Once you put the spices in, that makes it the ikar. So if it's the ikar, so now we have a hierarchy. If it's the ikar, even if in a tarovet, you're going to have to worry about Trumata Masra. If it's not the ikar, then you don't have to worry about Trumata Masra. Okay? Now, in the context of this, we get to this very interesting halacha, which is, if you give somebody your dough to bake, right, what did we say? We're not worried that they baked your dough, kept it for themselves, and gave you their dough. Okay, so now we're going to question that. Are we not worried, really? Why aren't we worried about that? Okay? And they're going to bring a bunch of mishnayot that are interesting. We're not really worried that they're going to switch your dough for theirs. V'hatnan, doesn't it say in the Mishnah? We're now going to quote a bunch of Mishnayot in Demai. Hanotein l'chamoto, if you give your mother-in-law a batch of dough to bake. Ma'aser et shehu notein la, ve'et shehu notel mimena. Okay, assuming she's in Amaretz. Okay, so what do you have to do? You have to ma'aser what he gives her, right? This here you have proof that in those days, right, people sometimes, people who kept halacha married people who came from families that didn't keep halacha. Okay, if you thought maybe they only did shiduchim within their own, you know, here you see a crossover. So if he can give him, if he gives his mother-in-law a dough to bake, he has to ma'aser what he gives her. Okay, in other words, take the ma'aser before. Ve'et shehu notel mimena. And when she returns it to him, he has to take ma'aser again. Okay, because what? Right? Mipnei shechashuda machlefet hamitkalkel. We're worried that what if she burns, let's say it's bread, and she burns his bread. So what will she do? She'll take her own, she'll bake it, and she'll give it back and make it appear as if it was his. And therefore, when you get it back, you have to also take masrot off of it. So why? So here you see we're worried. And the other case, when the guy gave to the neighbor the pot to cook, we weren't worried that she's going to switch it. So hatam, now there you can distinguish. Here's an interesting distinction. Kidetanya tama, the reason is stated there. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, rotzei betakanat bita ubosha michotna. She's worried about her daughter and worried about, and she's embarrassed before her chatan, before her son-in-law. In other words, she'd be humiliated if she sent him back the burnt dough. And let's just say, listen, I'm really sorry, but it burnt. She would never do that because what will happen? He might get angry at her, divorce the daughter, and her daughter will be left on the streets. So because of that, right, this goes to show you the nature of the mother-in-law's relationship with the son-in-law, right? Nowadays, I think mother-in-laws, right, also, right, they bend over backwards to be nice to their son-in-laws so that, you know, here I think it goes both ways. I don't think it only goes in the direction of the woman, but, you know, the mother-in-law to the son-in-law. But in general, in-laws, right, try to be very careful not to cause waves and, you know, and not to get people angry with them. Okay, so now they say, so that's specifically to a mother-in-law, son-in-law relationship. Okay, so now they say, okay, but what, we're not worried about other cases? About people switching, right? So there, what do we have? We have the neighbor, right? So if your neighbor, you brought her something to bake and she burnt it, so she'll give it back to you, burnt. So now, ulam alach Hashem, what we're not worried, other people are going to switch. V'hatznan, doesn't it say in the Mishnah in Demai? Hanotein lepundakit shelo. Okay, we're talking about a Tamid Chacham. Tamid Chacham gives to the woman living in the inn, you know, he's living in the inn, and she's the innkeeper. He gives the innkeeper's wife, okay, and she's an Am Haaretz, something to bake. So again, ma'aseret shehu noten la, he has to take ma'aseret before, ve'et shehu noten limena, also he has to take ma'aseret from what he gets back from her. Same thing. And that's not a mother-in-law, son-in-law relationship. Mipnei shechashuda machlefet, because we're concerned she's going to switch them. So they say no. Here also, hatamnami moraya, okay, she'll allow herself to switch them. Why? Va'amra bar be'rav lichol chamima va'ana echol karira. What if she made it for him, and let's say he didn't come in time, and the food got cold, and she had stuff that she made for herself that was hot. So she's going to say, better, the bar be'rav, the tamid chacham will eat hot, and I'll eat cold. Okay, and therefore she might have a reason to give it to him, and some people say it's also because she's getting paid. Okay, and because she's getting paid, as opposed to the neighbor, which was doing a favor, so she'd have more reason to do that. Maybe because he's Tamid Chacham, okay? Some people actually have the opposite girsa, which is, Amre, Bar Berav, Lecho Chamim, Va'ana Echol Karira, and the Dafka, she would switch it because she doesn't, what, he's going to eat hot food and I'm going to eat cold food? And then she Dafka switch it and give him the cold food, okay? So there's two opposite ways of looking at it. Okay, so again, we've proven that only in unique circumstances are we worried about l'chilufei. So now we say, okay, still we're going to keep asking. U'l'chilufei lo chashinan. V'hatanya, okay, it's a tosefta in Tarot. V'hatanya, eshet chaver, tochenet im eshet ama'aretz. She can, right, they can both be grinding together. Bizman shehit mea, okay, one, they're grinding, let's say, I assume they're both next to each other doing the grinding. They can work in the mill together. As long as she's tmeah, aval lo bizman shehi tehora. Why are we worried when she's Torah? When she's tmeah, what happens? She's very careful not to touch what she's grinding. She has to not come in contact with the food because if she touches the food, remember she's a rishon, she can make things into a sheni, okay, which is only food, but not the kli. So she can use the kli for grinding, but she can't touch what she's grinding. If she's Torah and she can touch what she's grinding, what are we worried? Then maybe she'll eat what the Am Haaretz has and it without having taken Trumot HaMa'aserot from. Okay, so far this doesn't have to do with our issue yet, but that's all the background to understanding this. So only when she's Tamei'ah is she allowed to do it because we know she's not going to accidentally eat something. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, af bizman she Tamei'ah, lo titchon, we're still worried even when she's Tamei'ah. Why? Mipnei shechaverta notenet la va'ochelet. Because what are we worried? Maybe her friend will kind of put the food in her mouth without her touching it. She knows she can't eat. So she'll say, here, I know you're hungry while you're working. Take some food and eat it. Now, what's the assumption? The woman is grinding what? Her husband's stuff. Now, there's an assumption, right? Now, if you remember, we learned all this stuff about the money and whose money is whose. And the women didn't really have their own money in those days. And all the stuff really belonged to her husband. What, she doesn't have any rights to take her husband's stuff and give it to the friend. Okay? That's stealing, basically. So, if we're worried, according to Rav Shem and Elazar, that she's going to take the stuff from her husband and feed it to her friend, so we're going to say like this, Hashta migzal gazla chilufe mibaya. If we're worried that an Eshet Am Haaretz is going to steal from her husband, what, we're not worried she's going to flip food? And that's in the case with the switching foods, at least she's giving you something of hers, right, and keeping your stuff. She's not actually stealing, she's just swapping. So if we're worried she's going to steal, all the more so we should be worried about Am Haaretz that she's going to swap. So from there they assume that you must be, you know, we should be worried about swapping. So Amar Rav Yosef, no, that case is different also. Why? Moraya va'amre Torah midishe ka'achil. Generally, what do we say? What's a Torah? Sure. Shur, lo tachsom shur b'disho. You're not allowed to muzzle an animal while he's working. You allow him to eat from the field, right, while he's doing his work. So, right, here's a nice comparison, right? So the point is that if a shur is allowed to eat and you don't have to muzzle him when he's working, obviously she's allowed to eat from the flour while she's grinding it. And therefore, it's not considered stealing. And if she gives a little to her friend's also working, and that's not considered stealing. And therefore, this has nothing to do with our issue. Okay, so in the end, we conclude that we're not worried that someone's going to swap your stuff unless for those unique circumstances where they have a motivation. And only when there's some sort of motivation, like the innkeeper with the Talmid Chacham, or like the mother-in-law with the son-in-law, then we're worried they're going to swap things. Okay, we'll start the next sugi, even though it's really kind of going to continue much more onto tomorrow's page. Heiv Rabbi Yeshua ben Zeruz ben Chamiv shel Rabbi Meir, lifnei Rebbe. Al Rabbi Meir, okay, so the Rabbi Yeshua ben Zeruz, the son of, what is it, the son of the father-in-law of Rabbi Meir, I guess?
Son of Rabbi Meir's father-in-law.
The son of Rabbi Meir's father-in-law, so that would make the brothers-in-law. Okay. Complicated way of saying it. He was Me'id lifnei Rebbe. Okay, he would testify before Rebbe about Rabbi Meir. Sha'achal aleshel yerek bebeitshan. Okay, testified about him that he would eat vegetables in Beitshan without taking trumot ma'asrot. V'hitir Rebbe at Beitshan kula, And not only that, but Rebbe, and based on what Rabbi Meir said, Rebbe was matir the entire Beitshan and said you don't have to take trumot ma'asrot. They viewed it as considered outside the territory of Eretz Israel for trumot ma'asrot. And there's like a big whole thing about this. Okay, if we were going to be, we'd go into all the details about, you know, what this could possibly be. How could you say Beitshan is not part of Eretz Israel, and maybe it's not part, there's Truma D'Oraita, which is the Tirosh Dagam V'Yitzhar, right? Just the oil, the grains, and the wine. Maybe we're talking about Truma D'Rabbanan, and all different kinds of ways of trying to figure out what exactly we're talking about. But anyway, putting that issue aside, okay, he basically said that Beitshan is not, you don't have to worry about Truma D'Masrod in Beitshan. Beitshan kula al yado. Okay, based on what he said. So now, chavru alav echavu beit aviv. Everybody ganged up on him. Okay, they were very upset that he did this. Amrulo, makom shavotecha vavot avotecha nahagubo isur atatin hogbo heter kiumakitom. Everybody else said this was all right. This is interesting, by the way. We're going in the opposite direction of what we went before. Right before, I'm sorry. This is in the same. This is like what we. No, sorry. It's the opposite direction. Here is being matir, something everyone was forbidding. Whereas we started off today with people being osir, the kuti, right, which used to be permitted and now is forbidden. Okay, so they say what they all said was forbidden, and you're going to now say it's okay. Darash lahem mikraze. And it's a really interesting way he gets to what he wants to say. V'chita nechat hanechoshet asher asa Moshe. Okay, so now what do we say? Remember the Nechash Nechoshet in the time of Moshe? So if you recall, this happened, the Nechash Nechoshet in the time of Moshe, right, saved everybody from the Magifa, whoever looked at it. But they kept the Nechash Nechoshet, and over time it became, people worshipped it. Okay, it became an object of worship, which was not a good thing. So Chizkiyahu HaMelech comes, and he basically grinds it up into pieces, okay, destroys it. They say, Chizkiyahu HaMelech comes and does this. Vayikra lo Nechushtan. And then, right, what's this? Vayikra lo, he called it Nechushtan, or they called him Nechushtan because he did it? I don't remember what this. Vayikra lo Nechushtan. He called it Nechushtan. Okay, so now, Efshar ba asa velo biyaro, ba Yehoshaphat velo biyaro, halokol avodasa zarasha ba'olam, asa v'Yehoshaphat biyarum. How could it be that it was still around in the time of Chizkiyahu HaMelech? Asa did this reformation. Yehoshaphat did a reformation. They got rid of all the Avodah Zarah. So ma pit'om, this Nechash Nechoshet was still left. So what is he darshan from this? Ela makom hinichu lo avatav litgader bo. They left him something that he could be known for, that he could be famous for. They left, right? They didn't finish it entirely, right? It's a nice way of saying when people don't finish the job, They left it for someone else to do, right? So that someone else could get the glory. So they left something for Chizkiyahu. So what does he say about his gzera? Af ani makomi nichuli avatai litgader bo. They left something for me to make a takana about, to permit. Now, what's amazing about this? Normally, right? Again, if you go with the chumrah attitude in life, so lachmir is a bigger deal. He's saying, they left me this big deal to basically be matir something, right? They allowed me to, they forbade something so that I could come along and be the big guy who matir something, okay? And it's looked at, in his words, as a very positive thing to be able to matir something that previously was asur.
But he didn't matir, he destroyed it. The grandson destroyed it.
No. Chizkiyahu HaMelech was getting rid of Avodah Zarah. That was his, what he was known for. But Rebbe comes and says, what you let me do is that you let me come, my ancestors let me come. I just want to make sure just one second. Right, it was Rebbe says, right, Rebbe says, my sons, they got all angry at him. Ma pitom, you're matir beit shani. You don't have to take trumot and masrot. He said, everyone else ushered it so that I could come along and permit it. It's a different, totally different comparison. It's just the same issue of leaving something over for me, right? Because if all the great ancestors do everything, then we've got nothing left to do. So they left it for me to be matir this. And here they've learned a very important lesson. Mikan l'tamid chacham sha'amar davar halacha. From here, if you hear a Talmid Chacham who says something that you never heard of before, and you find a bit outrageous, she'em mizichinoto. Okay, you don't just, right, I have to remember the translation of all these words, right? Mizichin is to basically...
You don't make him retract it.
Okay, you don't make him retract it. Va'amrele, em maznichimoto. You don't put him aside like we learned earlier in the daf, right? If your rabbi doesn't know how to answer questions, go find a new rabbi, right? You don't ignore him and say, oh, we're not going to learn from you anymore. Va'amre la eim mazchichinoto. Okay, mazchichinoto is we don't accuse him of being haughty, that, oh, you're so arrogant that you think you can be matir, all these things. So that when you see a rabbi, and this is a great way to, right, a great line, see a rabbi who gets up with a lot of courage and matir something, you shouldn't just knock him down and say, oh, look, he's being so permissive, but you should, maybe there's room to what he's saying. Okay, we'll get more into this tomorrow.